Good morning. Speakers are a bit louder. Good to see you. Good to be together this morning. Thank you to all those who led in our worship today. Thank you for being here and participating. It's good to be together on the Lord's Day to spend this time in worship. And as we begin our thoughts this morning, some of you all know John Wooden, and I remember a few years ago reading, or I guess it was a documentary about his life, and some of his players were talking about their time with him. John Wooden was the UCLA basketball coach in the 60s and 70s. Under his leadership, UCLA Bruins won 10 championships. I think it was 10 and 11 years. Unprecedented success in college sports, really, but especially basketball. And Mr. Wooden was one who believed in a well-organized practice. And I remember one of his players talking about how sometimes to see how his players would react, he would leave the practice court. And he would go up and he would walk on the catwalk where they couldn't see him. And he would watch from up there and he would see what would happen without them being directed by him. And one of the things he would notice, I think at least this player talked about whenever he would do it with their team, was the practice time would become very chaotic. It would lose its direction and everybody would be doing their own thing. And then all of a sudden, he would yell, grab their attention, and things would come back to order again. Chaos. Chaotic practices. Well, the reason I bring that up is to illustrate this idea that sometimes when the cat is away, the mice will play. Sometimes when mommy and daddy aren't at home, sons and daughters get into all kinds of things they shouldn't. Sometimes it may seem as though Christ and God are far away. Sometimes we forget that God is watching. Sometimes we forget that there's a time coming when Christ will return. It's so easy in our lives to become distracted by all that's going on. There's so many things that maybe grab our attention, our focus, off from where it should be. And so in that mindset, I ask the question, How would I spend today if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow? Would we live differently with that notice? Would it change the way we act, the way we talk, the way we behave ourselves? Would things that are priorities in our lives all of a sudden change? I remember in college, I wouldn't say I would do this, but I knew some students who would procrastinate. And you'd pull an all-nighter to prepare for a big final or midterm. The dorms were never as active as they were the night before a big final. Every light in every room was on except for that one student who had worked all year and prepared himself to be ready for the final. For all the rest of us, it was a mad scramble to see if we could get across the finish line. That imminent nature of the night before would change our priorities. It would change the way we focused our attention. Is our attention where it needs to be? Are we living as if Christ could come back tomorrow or even today? How would we spend our time? In the passage that Ryan read for us in Mark chapter 13, Jesus speaks of his return and he says, "But of that day and hour knows no one, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." You take note there that not even Jesus knows that time. Take heed, watch and pray, or be on alert. For you do not know when the time is. Are we living our lives that way? Have we prioritized our lives with that reality in mind? That we don't know. But all too often, our minds go to, well, he didn't come yesterday. He didn't come the day before that or many days before that. I don't know when he's coming. And man, I've got so many other things to do. How would we live our lives with that knowledge? Well, Jesus does allude to one important fact. We don't know when he will return. Not even he knows that. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus also says there in verse 39, But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you always be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Why has God not told us the very hour that Jesus would return? Why has he not specified that in the Gospels? You ever thought about that? Why not just be clear and upfront about it? I'll go back to my example of the finals. What's the human tendency? It may not be the case with everybody, but I sure knew a lot of students who were up very late at night trying to get ready. It would change our mindset, right? And so instead of telling us when, he exhorts us to always be ready. If you didn't know when that final test was going to be given, that changes your mindset about being prepared, doesn't it? I don't have a last minute to do it. It could come today. I better be ready for it right now. We need to think about that in our own lives. The Bible often will refer to that time as a thief. You know, thieves don't call ahead. They don't send us a note or a letter. And so we're ready. That's why some of us maybe have dogs or a security system in our homes. It's because we don't know. And we don't want to be found unprepared when that thief does come calling on us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes to that church, 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning at verse 2, he says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief of the night." Now notice this, verse 3. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief." As a child of God, I need to be better prepared. Why? Because I've been given all kinds of forewarning. Now, I don't know if it was this morning or last night, but Lisa's brother and sister-in-law had their second child together. And they didn't know exactly when that baby was coming. I know sometimes we can figure that out more precisely. But those who've had children, you know sometimes children make their own schedule. Barrett made his own schedule and came much earlier than we ever expected him to come. But he was ready, and he came. If Jesus comes, will he find us watching and waiting? In Peter's second letter, chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up." You know, when that day comes, there's going to be no getting around it. It's not going to be secret. It's not going to be something that we don't know what's going on. When Jesus comes, he will come with power. And in that moment, time will end. Opportunities will be over. I will no longer have an opportunity to secure my house, to get my life in order, to prepare my family, to prepare myself. And so Paul tells the Ephesians in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," or that you are walking soberly, that you're alert, that you're preparing. "Not as fools, but as wise." Let's not be foolish in how we use the time we've been given, but let us redeem the time, because the days are evil. Or in other words, life's short. You don't have forever. We don't have an eternity to get ready for God, to get ready for the return of Christ. We don't have forever to get ready for the grave. So he says, redeem the time. Make best use of what you have. We all love to dream about the future and about things we want to do. Every one of us probably have a plan. As a young child, you make plans about what you want to do with your career. Where are you going to go to college? What you want to study? As you get older, you make plans about who you're going to marry, what type of person, or maybe the individual you're looking for. When you get married, you start making plans for children. As you have children, you start making plans for their future, for your retirement. As you get older, you start to maybe look forward to that retirement. We're always planning ahead in the future. How much of our planning is spent in preparing for that day? You may never get that nice home. You may not marry that individual. You may not be able to get the retirement you want. You may not be able to retire at the age you want. I don't know what the future holds for me. I can prepare for it, though. And so we'll spend all kinds of time preparing for those things. How much time do we spend preparing for the return of Christ? How much time do we spend thinking about it? Because it is a surety. It will happen. And in that time, the Son will judge the nations. You notice what Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his second epistle, chapters 1 and verses 7 and 8. He says, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." When Christ came to this earth as a child and was born of Mary, he came as Savior. And he came to redeem the world. He came to bring grace and mercy. When Christ comes again, he will not come as Savior, but as Judge. And at that time, he will judge the nations. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, Jesus says, verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the holy angels with him, Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Christ will sit in judgment, and he'll begin to separate those who have been faithful from those who've been unfaithful. Which side of the aisle will you end up on? Will you be to the right of Christ? Will you be among his sheep? Will you be one who's prepared and ready for that day? You've prepared your soul. You've prepared your life. Or will you be one on the left? Your left, my left, my right, your... Which side will you be on? Will I be a sheep or will I be a goat? We look at that day, and some of us sit here anticipating that great day. Because for those who are prepared, for those who are ready, that will be a glorious homecoming. That will be a glorious day of redemption. A day in which we are reunited with God. For those who look forward to that with eager anticipation, it will be a beautiful day. In Matthew 25, again, and we go down to verse 34, the text, or Jesus tells us, "Then the king himself will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, as inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" The way we live our lives, the way we behave, the way we act toward our fellow man, our fellow Christian, will have a major impact on that day. And can you imagine what it'll feel like to have that assurance from God? To know that I've done what God has asked of me. To know that I never have to worry again. To have all that anxiety that we're riddled with. It's all going to be gone. You'll walk 10 feet taller because of just having that burden lifted. What a beautiful day that will be. Will we be found in Christ on that day? Will we be found acting like Christ on that day? Will we be the spitting image of our glorious King? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes to the brethren there. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day." Are you a son of the light and of the day? "We are not of the night nor of darkness." You know, in our world today, there is some stark contrasts being given by our culture. There are those who are acting very much like darkness. You see it in the way they act, in the way they talk, in the way they treat their fellow human being. May it never be said of one of us that we would act like we hear some very prominent people act. We need to be a stark contrast to what the world offers. We need to be different. We need to live differently. We need to be children of light and not of darkness. He goes on, he says, therefore, let us not sleep. Some of us asleep this morning. Are we sleeping on our faith? Are we sleeping on Jesus? Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be alert. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet of hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. You notice what he says there. Those who sleep at night. You're sleeping on Christ. You're part of the darkness. If as a child of God, I allow my spiritual life to suffer and I begin to live like everybody else, and I forget about that great day that's coming, and I'm more concerned about what's going on today, and I'm just living like the rest of the world, he says, don't live that way. If I'm drunk with the passions of my lust, I'm just living like the darkness. I have become darkness once again. As a child of God, I cannot give in to those temptations. I must live like Christ lived. I must live in the light. And on that day, if I have done that, I shall obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it's going to be like on that day for those who have suffered in this life physically? We have some people here who suffer with physical ailments. Some people have very difficult health issues. Imagine what it's like for those who cannot walk, those who cannot see, those who maybe have trouble with their hearing, those who have bodies that just ache. Man, on that day, Isaiah says, we will mount up like eagles and we will soar. Isaiah the prophet writes, but those who wait, are you waiting? Are you alert? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Imagine that person who has lungs that just don't work right. I think about Homer and how he can't walk very far before he has to sit down. That's tough. Never feel like you ever get your breath. On that day, I don't have to worry about not having good lungs. I'll have good lungs. I'll be able to run. I'll be set free of this body. Imagine those people who struggle with death. Since the day we were born, we've all been dying. We die at different rates. Our bodies decay in a different way for different people. But we're all headed toward one end. This body has an expiration date on it. Sitting and talking with many who suffer with physical ailments, I can only imagine what that must feel like. On that day, I don't have to worry anymore about feeling those pains. about struggling through this life. In Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4, John writes, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." We don't have to worry anymore about our children, our loved ones, and what might happen to them. We don't have to worry longer about sending our men and women away to service in the military. I don't have to worry anymore about my children and what they're going to do with their lives. All those things are cast away. Oh, what a glorious day. A day that will be. Are you prepared for that day? Have you made your life right? Are you considering that day? May God not find us unprepared. May we look forward to that day with glorious anticipation and hasten its coming. This morning, let me encourage you to consider your preparedness. How prepared are you? Are you truly ready for the coming of Christ? If you're not, why not begin to make those things right this morning? Make a decision, a determination in your life that you will no longer live in the darkness, but that you will live in the light. If we can help you in any way, if you're ready to obey the gospel, if you're ready to put Christ on, we'd love to help you do that this morning. If you're a child of God who's wandered from the truth and you find yourself unprepared, repent of your sins, make the needed changes, and begin living in preparation of that great day. Whatever your need, any at all, if you have one, please come as together we stand and as we sing.